And when I say private hands, again, just to reiterate, the resources of China are in private hands. You can put a name on that oligarchic rule, whatever name you want to put on it. When I say earth terms, I'm talking about the concrete reality in which we live our lives is essentially the same. As long as there is ranking, as long as there is the privilege to make the decisions and control the resources, how those resources are used. And I've been arguing that they are not trying to control those resources simply because in and of themselves, you know, like what? You know, greed for greed's sake? No. It's greed to keep us under control. Now that so many of us are being tossed out of the jobs nexus, let's use that time, our lives, towards thinking that through. What is most fundamental in terms of their control? You know, China didn't start out being part of the world monetary global economy. The people in China had to earn labor credits. So, unless we are aware that the key game is keeping the cattle herded, then we will be duped again, because it takes time for all of us to develop our thinking on a mass scale, on a massive scale. We have to help each other. We have to share these thoughts. Well, let's continue. So who needs money? Power says. The work of setting place and privatizing means is done. And again, when I say that the work of setting place is done, what I mean is that the framework, setting that framework is done. Yeah, there's blocks of earth that have been historically claimed by other oligarchs. Yeah, they want to duke it out with other rulers. But that doesn't mean that it's not a single global system called the game of supremacy. So the game has been set. The structure has been set. And the privatization means and mechanisms and focus goal has been set. All nations know they have to get it out of our hands. And where that's imperfectly done, you see, it's the battle still goes on in Central and South America, in Asia and the Middle East. They're still struggling over that key resource, land, in Africa, obviously, as well. And so there is ongoing struggle to try to make sure that we don't have access to what can reproduce our lives, our means for independence, self-sufficiency. And when they tell us we can create self-sufficient villages, when they give us permission to make a so-called self-sufficient village here within the belly of the beast, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You're not self-sufficient when you have to be given permission, when you have to go to the big boys and ask, Daddy, may I? How are we going to grow up always saying that? So who needs money? Power says. The work of setting place and privatizing means is done. Money's but an inconvenience to us now. It screens transactions of the people, and we insist on seeing them all. I said in the conversation with Joel McIver that if our efforts to end power coalesced behind the banner, a mass movement to end wage work, that it would be very difficult for power to undermine it. But it strikes me, pondering that further, that unless we are talking about it, and so are not caught unaware, that this diversionary tactic, this red herring money, could be, in theory, a way for power to do precisely that. For the power guys and their emissaries to say they, too, are all about ending the wage, and that they are also behind a movement to end wage work. So that means that we have to frame our effort for generalized human leisure, again, in very concrete terms, as a movement to end coerced work. We don't have fear around that anymore. which is only going to happen if we have each other's backs globally.